get to that meeting house. I know some that went there, it took them 2 days to get there and 2 days to get back. When we stop and look at that, and today all we have to do is just push little buttons, is about all we have to do. All the conveniences are laid right in our hands. How could we ever say that the Lord hasn't been merciful to us? How could we say that He hasn't blessed us? He's blessed us more than we'll ever be able to imagine. And every time that I feel in my own heart that I'm blessed to come out and be with God's people, that's just another great blessing. The whole world's out here. I could have went to church this morning in front row, 10 minutes from my front door. I'd love to go there. But you know, we need to follow the leadership of the Spirit. And I try to do that as best I can. I fall short. And sometimes I wonder if I am following the leadership of the Spirit when I do go other places. But all week my mind has been on coming here to see you, brethren, and to be with you. I desire your fellowship and your love. I dream about you in the nights. I think about you through the day. I try to pray for you, and I feel like this is mutual. I feel like you're doing the same thing for me. And so it is good to be here, and I don't mean to get into any preliminaries, but I think sometimes some things are needful that we let each other know just how we feel. We need this love that God has put in our hearts. We need to let it be made manifest and let each brother and sister around us feel that they belong and are a part of this, and that we all together are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. If I have anything on my mind, as I said this morning, it's going to be on something I believe that you all believe in. And if you don't believe in this, then you wouldn't even go to church, not only today, but any other time. My mind is on the resurrection, which I think is the greatest thing that we could possibly think of. We're just talking about, and Brother Arthur Hatcher has passed from his life. I knew him for many, many years, and I've heard him speak many a time to me and to others that he was looking forward to the day when the Lord would take him home. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that his body, once it goes into that ground, one day it's going to be raised again, a spiritual body. Amen. The resurrection is for real.
That's right.
If I didn't believe that, I would not be here this morning. I'm here because I know that Christ himself said in his own words that he said, I have power to lay my life down and the power to take it up again. Brethren, that's the kind of God we have. That's the very God that Brother Compton was talking about in his prayer. He has this power, and if he has the power to lay his life down, his life was not taken from him. He laid his life down of his own will. And he had the power to raise it up again, and he did that very thing. But this is the kind of God we're worshiping, and if he has the power to do this, and he does, you can rest assured that your bodies are going to raise spiritual bodies some sweet day also. Not only yours, but all that are in the graves will hear his voice and will all be called forth, every one of them, whether they are evil, reprobate, or whatever, they all will be raised. Everyone will be raised. Every single one, those that are still living in this earth, as you already know, they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That is the same thing as if they go to the cemetery and lay there 10,000 years. They're going to pass from this natural death into a spiritual body. And so it's wonderful to see that, you know, if any of us were to go into, be called into heaven in these old natural fleshly bodies, heaven would not be a perfect place. Because there is not one sitting here this morning, and myself included, very much so, that is not a sinner. We are all sinners, and we all come short of the glory of God, every last one. Let's go to the 24th chapter of the Acts of Apostles. I'll read a couple of verses there, and I'll probably move a little bit. This is when Paul was making his defense. I know you all are very familiar with this here. He was falsely accused, and he went before Felix here. And we can't read all that. It takes too long. Let's start at the 14th verse, but this is when he was talking to Felix here himself. He says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Brethren, do you believe all the things that are written in the law and the prophets? I believe you do. If we fail to, we go back to the Old Testament, I've heard some say, well, we don't have to believe all of that because that's in the past and gone. It is all true, every bit of it. It's not just the Old Testament, but the old and new. It is all the Word of God. It is all His inspired Word. Listen to this next verse. It says, and have hope toward God. To me, this is what holds me together day by day. Do you have a hope in God? Do you have a hope that someday that you're going to be with Him in eternal heaven and be like Him? I do. Every time I read that, I have to say amen to that because I believe with all I'm worth that the Lord is going to raise us up. And I know I'm not worthy of going to heaven. Are you worthy? None of us are worthy of our own selves. But we don't see the good part is inside. We're two of us in one. We're the outward man and the inward man. The outward man is doing all the sinning, but the inward man cannot sin. Amen. That is of God. That is pure. It is perfect. That is the thing that makes me, when I read this about the hope, the inward man is doing the hoping, brethren, that someday that we will be with Him and be like Him and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection. He didn't say that there might shall be. Paul was saying that there shall be a resurrection, not of just one of God's people. Listen to what it says. Shall be a resurrection of the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. That tells me very plainly, brethren, that everybody is going to be raised from those graves at the sound of that trumpet. When our Lord comes back, and we could go into that, but I won't go into that at all. But the sheep's going to be on the right hand, and the goat's on the left, and we won't go into that. I know you're familiar with that. I want to move over to another verse just following this thing up here in the 26th chapter of Acts. I think just one verse is all I want there. Let's read it. Paul was telling Felix, he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, this is going to Agrippa here, that King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. He said, now listen to this. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible? Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? We have people today that are living on this earth that do not believe in the resurrection of these bodies. And if they don't believe in the resurrection of these bodies, then they don't believe that Christ raised. I knew one sister that was a Primitive Baptist member in the church, and a faithful member, went to every meeting, labored in the fixing of foods and everything she could do in the meetings. I spent nights in her home, sweet and loving sisters you ever met. And before it was over, I learned that she did not believe in the resurrection. There are some that do not believe in the resurrection. And that is a very sad thing. Let's go to a chapter that to me would be more well covered as far as the resurrection is concerned. If I don't get anything else said to you this morning, I want you to leave this place in. I know that there's a resurrection. Not because I've said it, but because it is the Word of God. The 41st verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So, the next verse says, so also is the resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That's the outward man. The outward man, when we die, is going to be, these old natural bodies are going to go to the grave. But that inward man, that Holy Spirit of God that dwelleth within your heart, is not going to the grave. It's immediately going back to God who gave it. And it's not going to be, as I've heard some say, sleeping in the bosom of Jesus. The spirit has never slept and never will sleep. That spirit that goes back to God will be rejoicing in the bosom of Jesus until the coming of our Lord again. Since so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in what? Incorruption. That's a whole lot of difference. That's just exactly opposite. We are terrible poor sinners. These old vile bodies are going to the grave. Poor sinners. We're going down in corruption. And he's going to raise these bodies in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Think about that. Sometimes we get ourselves lifted up a little bit and feel like we're a little something big. By the way, we're nothing but little worms of the dust. That's all we are. And I say we. I'm not just putting it on you, but I want you to know it's all of us. We are as dogs. We are as dead dogs. And to me, that's nothing any worse. Our own righteousness are as filthy rags. But when you think about a dead dog, walk by one on some hot summer day that's laid on the side of the road 3 or 4 days. Brother, that's us. We are just as rotten as that is. That's that old natural man. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? It is raised in glory. It's raised in glory because God has changed these bodies when they come forth from the grave. They're not going down it. They're going down a natural body, but they're not coming up in natural body. These same bodies are going to come up, but there's going to be a big change in these bodies. Since it is sown in weakness. Are we weak or are we strong? We're weak. We'll be sown in weakness. But listen to this. We don't want to misinterpret this at all. But in the church, brethren, have you ever seen those that come down so low in spirit? That's when you're strong. That's when the Lord is with you. When the hard times come, when you get down to where you feel like there's nothing else left, what will you do more than you've ever done? You'll pray more earnestly. You'll call on the Lord more. You'll feel His presence more. When you're the very weakest, then you're strong. But in this, when we leave this world, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? It is raised in power. There's a whole lot of difference when that body comes up out of the ground. We didn't get this power, but Jesus is going to raise these bodies in power. He's going to do this. We can't do it. It is sown in natural body. That's what we're talking about. These natural bodies are going to be sown back into the dust from which it came, back into the earth. We're going to all go back to that cold, cold ground. And it's going to go down a natural body. Dead. And it would stay dead. Corporally, if it weren't for the Lord seeing fit to raise them up. Amen. If we ever, I just can't understand sometimes when you hear people saying what they can do. Come on and join the churches. They're all around you everywhere you go. Be baptized and be saved. Brother, the only saving that we can do in this world is the same kind that Paul did. So, and that is, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That means now. God has given us the power to preach the gospel. It does not give them life. It does not cause them to become a child of God. But for those that are already are children of God, from before the foundation of the world, it brings this life and immortality to light. It makes it made manifest in them. Some of it will come in their hearts. Many of them will change. Their hearts will be changed when they're little children. Some will be like Paul on the road to Damascus in midlife. Some will be like the thief on the cross. But at the very last. But somewhere between conception and the grave, those that belong to God, a change will take place in that heart. That Holy Spirit will touch them because they already belong to God. It is sown in natural body, it is raised in spiritual body. That's the whole difference right there. It is sown in natural body, just like we're looking at each other here this morning, all poor sinners. But when these bodies are called forth from the grave, they're going to come up spiritual bodies. Just like Christ himself when he came from a tomb. And he ate food to make his point. These bodies, when they're raised, they could be even able to eat if that would be the case, which it will not be. We will not have to have food. We will not have to have a supper put on the table. There will be no marriages there. The difference is, we will be like Jesus. And some will say, well, that would be pretty boring just to sit there and sing all the time and do nothing else. Brother, let me tell you, we don't know what it's going to be like there. But I can tell you this much, it's going to be, you cannot even imagine how much better it's going to be than here at its best. Amen. And we don't know these things. That's why we look forward to these things with great expectation that someday we'll see heaven. And someday we'll be like our Lord and be there with Him where there won't be any need for the sun to shine, because He is the sun. He is the brightness. It is sown in natural bodies, raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body. You are in it this morning. We are all in the natural body this morning. But it don't stop there, I'm glad to say. It continues on and says, there is a spiritual body. Brother, there is a spiritual body. Look at this resurrection. If it had never took place, then you couldn't believe in it. But if you believe in the Word of God, you're going to have to believe that there is a resurrection of these bodies. If Christ didn't rise, then why would I be here trying to preach the resurrection? If He weren't going to raise these old bodies from the grave, spiritual bodies, why would we be here? Why would we be preaching? Let's read a little bit of that. I know I'm taking too much time. I don't want to. I'm moving away quick as I can. Drop back in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll probably do mainly reading this. I want it to be placed within your hearts. I want you to leave here feeling in your heart that the Lord is your God. And that you have came out to worship Him because He has drawn you. And you don't have hope in this life only. Reading starting at the 12th verse, 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead. I trust that that's what I'm trying to preach to you this morning, that Christ rose from the dead. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That makes me think of that one sister. I could not even comprehend that when I found that out. Came from her own mouth. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Think about that. If there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. I believe Christ rose from the dead. I don't just believe it, I know it. Because I have been told in my heart that He is God and He had that power to lay it down and take it up again. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. You see, I wouldn't be here if you didn't believe in the resurrection. These other elders wouldn't be here if they didn't believe in the resurrection. And you might as well not be here if you don't believe in the resurrection. My preaching would be vain. And your faith also would be vain. It says, yea, if that be the case, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. I could not call God God if He didn't have the power to do what He said He's going to do. I call Him God because that's exactly what He is. God has all power. And there's no getting around that. And there's not any big me's and little you's on this earth down here either. We're all little me's and you's if we say where we belong. I find sometimes that feel like they want to have a little bit of preeminence over others right in our churches and want to set a little bit higher. Brethren, that's going in the wrong direction. We want to be at each other's feet. Over where I come from, you don't find feet washing. But you should. I believe that if all I'm worth it, they should have it. But we don't break fellowship because of these things. But I'll tell you, we're where we belong. We'll be washing our brother's feet. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You see what it's saying? If the dead rise not, then Christ didn't rise. It says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are what? Listen to this. Ye are yet in your sins. In other words, we have not been forgiven our sins if Christ did not rise. And we will be all doomed.
That's right.
But we are not doomed because Christ did rise.
Amen.
Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now that fallen asleep in Christ don't mean that spirit. That means these bodies. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, when you die, you'd be like an old dog. You roll them over in a ditch, and that's the end of it. But that's not the way it is with God's people. All the animals and beasts of the fields, they're going back to the ground. That is going to be the end of it. But for God's people, they're going up to eternal heaven. You can rest assured of that. That's where we're talking about. I don't have hope just in this life. Only do you. I'm looking for a better place. I'm looking for a home in heaven, not made with hands. Eternal in heaven. There it is, right in the next verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brother, I can tell you this much. If I didn't have any hope beyond living here in this world, I would be very miserable. I would look and see my loved ones gone on, and I said they perished. That's the end of them. I would grieve till I couldn't stand it. But I know that my loved ones, my mom, dad, and brothers that have gone on, I know where they are. They haven't perished. That spirit's with the Lord. Those bodies are going to come up and be reunited with that spirit. And Jesus is going to carry them home to live with Him forever and ever with no end. He's not coming down here walking around this earth to get it done. He's not going to set up a kingdom down and reign 1,000 years. Brother, the election is already secure and been done. This old earth that we're living on, instead of Him coming down here and living on this earth and reigning here, it's going to melt in fervent heat. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. Not only the earth, but the air, the heavens, and all is going to burn. But we're not going to be in it. He's going to take you home. You're not even going to see that take place. But now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death. What man? Adam. Very first man. So by first man came death. By man came also the resurrection. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Who is that? That's the second Adam. That's Christ. That's our Lord. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ you all be made alive. You like that? That's what I hold on to every day. That we're going to be made alive in Christ Jesus. He's given us life here in this world. He's given you the church. We've been blessed to have that, not only to have the church life, but the true church. That's why it's only a few of us here. The world out there, up high. Like I believe Brother Steve said there a while ago, said if we had the organs and all in here, then we'd have a bigger congregation this morning. But you wouldn't have the kind you wanted. We want the kind that God has called and seen fit to set apart from the things of this world. He has made you alive in Christ Jesus. Pure evidence that you're going to live with Him when this world is over. It don't mean that you'll have to have a church life to go to heaven. For most parts, most of God's children will never see the true church. Did you know that? Most of them out there in the world, drinking down sin, but they're going to be changed somewhere before they leave this world. But we have been blessed to have the true church of the living God. You can rest assured of the resurrection. Whatsoever, when old Lazarus was laying out there in that cave, 4 days to where he was stinking, no doubt. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And there weren't no waiting. There weren't no getting anything ready. He didn't say we're going to take a crack at it and see what happens in a week. When he says, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth bound hand and foot. Did you notice that? He couldn't even walk. We can't walk today if He don't help us to walk in the church that's in the Spirit. Lazarus floated right out of there. And just like God's children in regeneration, Jesus says, loose him. Let him go. In so many words, that's not a quote, but He says, loose him, let him go. That's God's children when you see them come up that aisle. Asking for a home in the church and not coming to become a child of God. They're already a child of God. They're bearing the fruit. So we receive them, we loose them, and let them go. Don't forget, don't ever forget the resurrection is so real. Not only the resurrection, but every word in this Holy Writ is real and true. You can pick up any other kind of book, paper, or TVs, or whatever you want to, and you better not try to believe any of it, because there's no truth in them. Sin is pitiful. We look at it now, even the TVs. If we did what we were supposed to do, we'd throw them all out. Amen. We'd get them out of the house. You probably heard, I heard a brother say a while back that his wife became addicted to TV. She would just sit up till the middle of the night. My wife's pretty good at that. But she'd sit up until, she's not here, I can say that. But this sister was so involved with television that he could not get her mind off of it for nothing else. And he said he kept telling and telling, and she wouldn't listen. She would not hear him. But finally, he just walks in and he picks that thing up, takes it and throws it on the back of the truck, and takes it out and dumps it in the river. He says, I got her attention. I got her attention. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.